Okay, we are on lesson number 7. This is the first week of the person and ministry of the Holy Spirit. We're going to look at the first 3 sections this morning, a portion of the third. But we are looking at the third person of the Trinity. Now, Jesus said, and this is our verse that goes with this lesson, in John 14:6, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Helper, that He may be with you forever. So this morning we are going to look at this Helper, how He is our Helper, and we're going to be looking at the third, as the Holy Spirit, as the third person of the Trinity. We're also going to look at the ministry of the Holy Spirit in creation, in inspiration of Scripture, and in the salvation process. And then we'll continue portion of that last one we're going to look at next week. And then next week we are going to look again at the difference between baptism of the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Holy Spirit. And we did hear an excellent sermon this morning on spiritual baptism, and it is good to see how God works things. I have been doing a partner study. The last 2 weeks, I've been in the study with someone, has been on the Holy Spirit. This morning's message on the Holy Spirit. And then these lessons for this week and next week is on the Holy Spirit. So it is good to get that focus back on the Holy Spirit to see how He works in our life and how He is ours, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So in section... In the first section, we see that the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. He is a person. He is a person. As we see in, He is referred to as the Spirit of God in Matthew 3:16. We'll look at this verse. He says, after being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open, and He saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on Him. So there we see how Jesus is baptized, and we see that the Spirit of God descends upon Jesus. And this was something that was witnessed. He is independent, an independent person of the Trinity. He's separate. This is not a portion of God the Father. He's not a portion of God the Son, but he is an independent person of the Trinity. He is not emanation or a force. John MacArthur said in an article on the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is not a mystical power. He is a person just as Jesus is a person. He's not a floating fog or some kind of ghost-like emanation. It is unfortunate that the translators of the King James Version use the term ghost instead of spirit. For generations, people have had the idea the Holy Spirit is an aberration. Something like Casper the Friendly Ghost, the 1950s and 60s comic book and cartoon character. But He is not a ghost, He is a person. And so as we think about this, I want you to think about on the first part of the lesson. You saw this about pronouns, the use of the pronouns. We're going to look at that the Holy Spirit is an independent person, separate from the Father and the Son, by looking at John 14:26. Who wants to read this? John 14:26. And while we read it, once you observe, as you look at this verse and read this verse, what do you observe in this verse?
But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you.
What's an observation in this verse?
The writer is talking about a person.
He's talking about a person. How many persons do you see in this verse?
Three
persons. So he is separate. There's the Holy Spirit is mentioned, and the Father is mentioned, and Jesus is talking about himself. So you have all three persons mentioned in this verse. John 14:16, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. Now, he's referred to in that verse as another helper. So Jesus said, it's not the same, it's not me in another form, it's another helper. So when you look at your book, your lesson, if you go to the first page, page 53, and the answer to A, depending on what version of the Bible you have, will give you the answer to that question, is what's the number of times that he or him is used in John 14:17? What'd you come up with in your... Apparently there's no wrong answer if it's one of these versions. Because it's not a set number, depending on which version you use. So who uses the NASB? How many times?
Okay, good.
What about ESV? Anyone uses ESV? All right. It says 4. What about the NIV? Does anyone use the NIV? You use the NIV?
I think mine's 4.
And the New King James. Andy? I know you use it.
4.
Okay. Now.
That's
correct. Now, it says that the NASB, in the answer book, it says it's 2 times. This is John 14:17. The ESV, it says 4. The NIV, it says 5.
What?
And then the New King James, it says 4. So, I didn't look all those up in all those versions, but that's what the answer book says. That he or him is used in that verse that many times.
Oh, it is 5.
Okay.
I was wrong.
All right, so we see that he's an independent person, and he's separate from God the Father and God the Son, but he's he or him. That's the pronouns, he or him. The Holy Spirit is not it. And How often can we go through and have a conversation about the Holy Spirit and not call Him it? Have you ever called the Holy Spirit it? I've heard it all my life. I've just heard that. He is referred to it, the Holy Spirit. It comes upon you. It, this or that. But I've heard it in the book here, in the lesson, it speaks of that too. So it is something that has been common down through the years.
I want to make a comment going back to the Him not being an emanation or a force.
Mm-hmm.
That was so influenced by the Star Wars movies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've read a lot of worldview stuff, and there's actually people who subscribe to the Star Wars religion kind of thing, and they've attributed, and I did this when I was a brand new Christian, it's like, well, the force, that's God, that's Jesus, you know? Like, no, it's not.
No.
But, you know, people aren't well-schooled and really don't understand, and so a lot of people will attribute, you know, the force to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
It's not accurate.
We also see that the Holy Spirit possesses attributes of a person. And this was in section B. The section B 1, 2, and 3, we see, what's the first one about intellect? What'd you get for letter A?
Holy Spirit has a mind.
He has a mind. 1 Corinthians 2:10. His intellect. What does his intellect do in that verse? Or how is it shown?
The Holy Spirit searches our hearts. That's what I have for that one.
I know He searches all things, even the depths of God.
Yeah, he searches. He's... even the deep things of God. And 1 Corinthians 2:11. How does He use His intellect in that verse?
The Holy Spirit knows our thoughts.
He knows the thoughts. So He has an intellect. He also has emotion. What's the emotion there in Ephesians 30?
Grieve.
Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption.
Now, I think it's in Thessalonians where it says, do not quench the Holy mm-hmm. Spirit.
Uh-huh.
That's, we're doing the quenching. He's not, I guess.
Right, right. When
grieved by
that. Yeah, the quenching is not obeying. But you know, in Ephesians 4 there, he goes through different things, and I'll just says, therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Do not give the devil an opportunity. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that is it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. So in the midst of all these things that Paul is writing, he throws in, grieve not the Holy Spirit. I mean, this, and it's just not any Holy Spirit. He says, He is the Holy Spirit for whom you have been, you were sealed for the day of redemption. By whom you were sealed. And we have the Holy Spirit with us 24/7. And a lot of times we don't like to think about that, do we? Or we don't think about that. And when we sin, there's grief upon the Holy Spirit. I was reading that verse in preparation for this lesson, and it was something that just stood out to me. Every sin can cause God grief. Because I have the Holy Spirit with me every day, all day, all night. And the things that I do, the things that I think, the things that I say should be holy. And it should be uplifting and edifying. The anger, the not laboring correctly or unwholesome words. All these things that Paul has listed. And right in that, forgiveness, slander, all these things put away. And when you think about, I have a person of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit in my heart, and how that works is beyond us, because the same Holy Spirit is in every believer. And to think about grieving the Holy Spirit should cause us to grieve and to turn from sin. So he has emotion, he has intellect, he has volition. In these verses, he possesses the ability to determine or act decisively. And what is that in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 12, 7 and 11, those verses?
I wrote down, it's the manifestation of the Spirit. Our gifts are the manifestation, and the Holy Spirit that gives them as He so chooses to.
Yes, as He wills. As He wills. So that's the volition, is as He wills. And then Acts 13:2, what was the work or the volition there?
The Holy Spirit sets us apart for the work He has called us to do.
Yes, so when Paul and Barnabas, they were set apart. It wasn't that these guys just said, hey, there's a couple guys, let's send them. It was the Holy Spirit said, there's my two guys I want you to set apart for the ministry. And so the Holy Spirit is the one who made the decision. All right, the Holy Spirit can be responded to. As a person, the Holy Spirit can be obeyed. Acts 10:19-21. Who could read those verses? Let's see. If we could, we'll just start around the room because there's a list. And Robin, we'll start with you and just move over to Phil and Mary and back through zigzag. And so Acts 10:19 and through 21. And then Phil, you can be looking up Acts 7:51. And Mary, Acts 5:3, and then I'll give another list.
Okay. So then those who were scattered because of the persecution that occurred in connection with Stephen made their way to Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except to Jews alone. Oh, am I wrong?
I was thinking that was Acts 10. Yeah.
While Peter was reflecting on the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are looking for you. But get up, go downstairs, and accompany them without misgivings, for I have sent them myself." Peter went down to the men and said, "Behold, I am the one you are looking for. What is the reason for which you have come?"
Okay, so he can be obeyed. In this case, Peter was told to go, and he went. What about in our case? How do we work that out with obedience? We have something that arises, like what about a response to someone? You say, I could say this, but the Holy Spirit is what? He's reminding us of Scripture. There's a conviction there because he knows the thoughts before we can. He knows all the process before we can get it out. He can stop us, remind us, and there's can be obedience in that. The Holy Spirit can be resisted. Do you have that?
Yeah. Acts 7:51. "You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears. You always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did, so do you."
Okay. What about now? How is he resisted?
We can still be stiff-necked. Mm-hmm. We don't humble ourselves to go in the yoke with the Lord.
So we can go ahead and say what we're thinking instead of stopping and obeying. And you have Acts 5:3, because the Holy Spirit can be lied to.
"But Peter said, 'Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land?'"
Remember, this was when the early church, they were giving, and Ananias and Sapphira, they are wanting to put on a show, really. It was all about perception of what they were doing, but they were actually holding back. They were lying to the Holy Spirit. Right. The next set of verses is Hebrews 10:29, Ephesians 4:30, and then Andy, get Mark 3:28 and 29. So you can be lied to. Insulted. Hebrews 10:29.
"How much severe punishment do you think you will deserve, who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has insulted the Spirit of grace?"
Do we insult God? These in Hebrews insulted regarding the blood. That of the Spirit of and insulted the Spirit of grace. And we saw this before, but we'll look at it again. Grieved, Ephesians 4:30.
"And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption."
All right, he's obeyed, resisted, lied to, insulted. He can be blasphemed. And that's Mark 3:28-29.
Okay. Surely I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the sons of men, and whoever blasphemes, and whatever blasphemes they may utter. But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is subject to eternal condemnation, because they said he has an unclean spirit.
So when we see these things, we can see elements of different things in daily life. That we interact with people, how we interact with a person, and in the same way as a person, the Holy Spirit can be obeyed or resisted, can be lied to, insulted, grieved, blasphemed. So he can be responded to as a person, and the Holy Spirit demonstrates actions as a person. And we've got another list here. So Lynette, if you could start up with Acts 28:29, and then the next one will be John 14:26, and the next one is 1 Corinthians 12:11.
Acts 28:29.
Yes, this is where the Holy Spirit demonstrates actions as a person. He speaks.
He says, when he had spoken these words, the Jews departed, having a great dispute among themselves.
That's Acts 8:29.
No, that is 28:29. I'm sorry. Okay. Acts 8:29. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go up and join this chariot.
Okay, so there was a eunuch from Ethiopia going back, and he had questions. And the Holy Spirit knew about it because he's working on him over here. Conviction convicted him of his sin as he reads Isaiah, not knowing what he's reading. He's wanting to know more. So the Holy Spirit sends Philip, and Philip goes down, and the Holy Spirit says, join yourself to that chariot. So he spoke to Philip. So he demonstrated an action of a person. The Holy Spirit spoke. He teaches. In John 14:26.
The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I said to you.
So Jesus is telling his disciples how the Holy Spirit's going to bring these things to your remembrance, he's teaching you through. And then the Gospels, because they're written as a reflective, as they're telling about it, you see every once in a while in a Gospel, is it, they didn't remember until. They didn't remember until this happened. And that came from the Holy Spirit as he begins to teach them, this is what Jesus meant by this when he said this or that. So he teaches, and he distributes spiritual gifts. In 1 Corinthians 12:11.
One and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills.
Right. So that you go through in that section where you see some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the spiritual gifts, and it is the Holy Spirit is giving those gifts, distributing them out. He convicts the world of sin, I'll read that. It says in John 16:8, and he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. So we can convict. And I think we read this. He searches. I believe that's the one about the deep things. I've got another verse here written down, but it's 1 Corinthians 2:10, where he searches the deep things of God. So, do we search? Can we search the deep things? Can we search out things about God? Through Scripture, yes. And so as we are looking into the Word of God, we're searching through, and we have the Spirit of God. There's that teaching that comes in, and we're searching, and we're looking at Scripture. We're learning more about who God is, how He's interacting in our life, how He is shaping us to look more like Christ, how He's doing all these things, and we can deepen our knowledge of God if we are in Scripture, and we can only deepen our knowledge of God through Scripture, and we have to search out Scripture, and there has to be prayer in that. We can't just read and read and read without prayer, because we need to commune with God and ask for wisdom. The Holy Spirit testifies. In John 15:26, it says, "When the Helper comes, whom I will send from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from me, he will testify about me." One of the things, major things that we need to understand is the Holy Spirit is testifying about Christ. And when the Holy Spirit is convicting, you're looking at the righteousness of Christ. You're looking at the judgment of Christ. And all these things work together in the Trinity. But the Holy Spirit is pointing to Christ. And Christ is glorifying the Father. He glorified the Father. And so it is the Trinity is working together. And so He is testifying about me, Jesus said. And then the other thing here is He guides and directs. In Acts 16, it says they passed through, Acts 16:6-7, and they passed through Phrygia and Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And after they came to Mysa, they were trying to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. So this is when Paul is seeking out a direction, and then that's when he had the Macedonia vision, where he saw someone come over here and help us. It's because of the Spirit of God that happened. He was preventing them and from going one place, and He was directing them to another place. So the Holy Spirit demonstrates the actions of a person.
I have a question.
Okay.
Back in Acts 8:29, when it says the Spirit spoke to Philip to go see the Ethiopian eunuch. But that's because it was still an apostolic age.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't actually speak verbally now. He speaks through his word. I mean, obviously
right.
The charismatics and the Pentecostal and all
God spoke to me.
They
yeah.
are always, always, back
uh-huh.
more.
Yeah.
You know what God told me to do today?
Right.
But it's different now because the apostolic age is done.
Uh-huh.
So he doesn't really speak.
God only speaks to us through his word. But he does lead us. He prevents things. He guides us into other directions. But he only speaks through his word. And so, but he spoke then. I don't know if it was audibly or if it was internally. I don't know how that worked. But he spoke to Philip. And the Bible says he spoke to Philip. So in that, he spoke. It was like an action of a person. So it was showing that he was the one that was speaking. And so these were actions of a person. What a person can do as opposed of being an emanation or a force. So, but yeah, you're right. You
hear it all the time.
You do.
All the time.
And some of that could be well-meaning. They don't really mean what they say they are saying. You know what I mean? That it's more like that there was a leading of the Spirit of God to do something based on Scripture, based on a conviction, and those sorts of things. But that's what they call it. Maybe. I don't think some of them would, when you question that, would actually say, well, yeah, you're right. He didn't really speak to me, but this is the way up. But there are many that say that he does. So we see him as a person, and then in this section we see Holy Spirit is God. He has attributes of deity. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. That is found in Isaiah 40, 13 and 14. The Spirit of God is omnipresent. Found in Psalm 139, 7. Where David writes, "Where can I go from your Spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence?" The Holy Spirit is eternal, without beginning or end, as found in Hebrews 9:14. And then the Holy Spirit is truth. There's veracity or integrity with Him. If you someone or turn to 1 John 5, 6, and 7, and 8. And then John 16, 13. I'll read John 16, 13. But who's got John? 1 John verses 5, 6, 7, and 8. I mean 6, 7, and 8. Chapter 5. Okay.
This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not with the water only, but with the water and with the blood. It is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify.
Okay, so the Holy Spirit is truth, and then he that's an attribute of him. But we also have statements of deity about the Holy Spirit. That's found in 2 Corinthians 3:17. Paul writes that the Lord is a spirit, or the Lord is spirit. And then we also see back to the to the section in Acts talking about Ananias and Sapphira, he said, lying to the Holy Spirit is the same thing as lying to God. So the Holy Spirit is God. You also see his titles. The Holy Spirit has titles as in Scripture. The Spirit of Truth, which we read just now in 1 John 5:6. The Spirit of Life is in Romans 8:2. Phil, could you read that, please?
Yeah.
Romans 8:2.
For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death.
So the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of life. And we're talking about God here and God's triune, and we'll look at that in a few minutes. Can you recall anything else said about who is truth? Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's the verse. He is truth in John 14:6. So the Holy Spirit is truth, and Jesus is truth. And then the next thing that the Holy Spirit is called living water in John 7:38-39. Jesus said, "He who believes in me, as Scripture said, from his inmost being will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So remember this morning's message, where Paul spoke of that, how they had to, they were believers, and then Peter, on the day of Pentecost, they received the Spirit. What about this one, living water? Remember anything about that on Jesus? In John 6:51, he said he was living water. What about the Father? In the same chapter, in John 6:57, Jesus said, as the living Father sent me, and I who live because of the Father, so I live because of the Father, so he who eats me will also live because of me. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of glory in 1 Peter 4:14. And if you remember that Jesus is also called the Lord of glory in 1 Corinthians 2:8. And the Father is called the Father of glory in Ephesians 1:7. And then, of course, the Holy Spirit is called the Holy Spirit in Matthew 1:18. And a multitude of other times throughout Scripture. So it's this, we see this, how He's God. And so we're going to look at how, we're just going to review about the Trinity for a moment. As we take time to look at the doctrine of the Trinity, and then we'll finish the last point for today, but which is the work of the Holy Spirit. But so far in this class, lesson three pointed to the deity of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this lesson has shown us the deity of the Holy Spirit. There is the deity of Christ. We've seen the Trinity. And when we pull it all together, even though the word Trinity is not in the Bible, when you pull all this together, as the doctrine of the Trinity is clear in Scripture, that there is one God in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so the Bible says there is only one God. And we won't read these verses because we've looked at some of these verses. Yet God refers to himself in the plural as us and our. If you remember in Genesis, he speaking about himself, themselves, us. Let us make man in our image. We know that the Father is God. Christ is God. And the Holy Spirit is God. And these three are all distinct from one another. And we see that at the baptism of Christ, where we read that earlier, about Jesus is baptized, the Father speaks, and the Spirit comes down upon Jesus. And then there's different scriptures that you can see all three are in statements in 2 Corinthians 13, 14, 1 Peter 1, 2, 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 6, and Matthew 28, 19. Of course, that's the one in the Great Commission of go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Then we see here in the different functions in the Trinity is God the Father is from whom all revelation proceeds, the one who knows, foreknew our salvation and demonstrated his love for us by giving his only Son. And then there's God the Son, the incarnated God who gave himself as a sacrifice for sin and now intercedes and meditates between the Father and man. And then God the Holy Spirit, he indwells the believer and works to sanctify the believer through the illumination of the Word of God. So we come to the last part of today is the work of the Holy Spirit. And that's we're going to look at the work of creation this morning. And that's found as the Holy Spirit was active in creation. Somebody read Psalm 104:29-30.
When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. When you send your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground.
So the Holy Spirit was there at creation. In Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. So the Holy Spirit was active there, and he's active in the virgin birth. Now, Jesus wasn't created then, but he's incarnated. In Luke 1:35, it says, the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and power of Most High will overshadow you, and for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And that is the doctrine, the virgin birth, has been twisted, has been it's a doctrine that is true, that Mary did not know a man, and God through the Holy Spirit came upon Mary, and through that Jesus was born from Mary, an actual birth. He didn't just show up one day. It was 9 months, and he was born like any other person. The Holy Spirit worked in giving of Scripture, and we saw that at our first lesson. The inspiration of the Holy Spirit, inspiration of God as He moved upon men as they wrote Scripture, and we went through all that in lesson one. And next week is the work of His work in salvation, and we also are going to look at the difference between being filled and the baptism. We heard about the baptism this morning, but as we look at the person and ministry of the Holy Spirit, hope it reminds you that He is with us. We think about God being out there somewhere watching us. He's walking around with us. and so I hope you get a chance also to listen to this sermon. Sermon number 7, Being Filled with the Spirit, Part 1. It's from Ephesians 5:18. And that one is from December 3rd, 1978. And one of the great things about listening to these sermons is they never go out of date. Because it's truth. Using Scripture, proclaiming the Word of God, never goes out of date. We could go over and get one of these books that's got some, or upstairs in the library, and pull down some Puritan and read their sermon, and it's never out of date. They may say some things that are a little different than we would say it today, but it's still the same God who is eternal, who His Word endures forever. And so when truth is proclaimed, it can't go out of date. And so you'll enjoy that sermon to hear John MacArthur. I think he came to the church in 1969, so he's not even reached his 10th year at the church at that time. He was coming up on his 10th year.
We were there.
Were you?
And I was there, and that whole series on Ephesians is what brought me to the Lord, the realization of who He was. That's why Ephesians is such a strong, it's such an important book for me.
Well, that's great to hear. Enjoy listening to that. That's easy to find, and if you've got their app, you can use it and download it on there too. So, and you can have it with you anytime. But let's look to the Lord in prayer as we go through the day. Dear Father, we thank You for the truth of Scripture. We thank You for the Holy Spirit, that we have another helper who came to testify of Christ, indwell us. I pray, dear Father, that we would live our lives that would not grieve the Holy Spirit, that we would live our lives that would glorify You, that we would live our lives to look more and more like Jesus. I pray that we would just use what we heard today, your verses of Scripture that are eternal truth, and that You would help us to live it out. And we give You praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.